Espionage charges laid against Australian WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange are being described by free speech advocates as unprecedented and a direct assault on US constitutional guarantees of free speech and a free press. The US Justice Department has slapped a new 18-count criminal indictment on Julian Assange over his work helping the former Army intelligence officer Chelsea Manning expose US war secrets, which WikiLeaks then published. Now there's an extradition battle because Assange is also facing rekindled rape charges for which Sweden is seeking his extradition from the UK and which have a 2020 deadline on them. Holly Cullen is Adjunct Professor of International Law at the University of Western Australia.
In law, the British government has the choice of which request it prioritises, and it may well be that since the time pressure for the Swedish request is so crucial that they will decide to allow that request to be processed as the priority one. Otherwise, they will want to be certain that there's not going to be any issues around the death penalty since around 1990, the UK has refused to extradite people to countries where they might be subject to the death penalty.
And is there the possibility of the death penalty in connection with these 17 new charges?
It doesn't seem so. Nobody who's commented on it that I've seen says that that's the issue. What has been raised is that the one number I've seen is that the cumulative sentence for all of those charges, if he's convicted on all of them, could be up to 175 years. So effectively that becomes a life without parole, probably, sentence. And there are a number of human rights advocates who argue that that is as unacceptable from a human rights point of view as the death penalty.
And is it your sense that the British courts are sympathetic to that sort of argument?
They might be, because it's been bouncing around the European Court of Human Rights system for a few years now, and I'm not entirely sure where they've landed on that issue, but certainly it was looking like in some circumstances, where there was absolutely no possibility of parole, no matter how theoretical, that it might be considered to be a form of cruel and inhumane treatment and therefore contrary to the European Convention on Human Rights.
And what should or can Australia do here?
Well, in the short term, he's in prison and the government would be supporting him in the way that they provide information and support to people in Australians in prison abroad. You know, there have been allegations that the Australian government hasn't done enough. It's difficult to know because, of course, a lot of this is done behind closed doors.
And the other question that's arisen is a US constitutional free press question, that this completely breaches freedom of press, freedom of speech, First Amendment guarantees in the US Constitution. Do you have a view on that?
This is an issue that has never been litigated in the US before. Never has the Espionage Act been used purely for publishing information or receiving it for the purpose of publishing. And in the press conference, when the indictment was released yesterday, it's been reported that the Department of Justice refused to answer questions despite having reassured journalists present that they weren't out to get them. They weren't willing to answer questions about whether there was any way that there could be a legal difference established between what Assange is doing and what the New York Times or the Washington Post or CNN do. So journalists in the US are quite concerned that effectively, were this prosecution to proceed, that it would create a precedent that simply receiving sensitive national security information would make you vulnerable to criminal prosecution. And that would make doing that kind of journalism almost impossible.
Professor Holly Cullen from the University of Western Australia.